Hi, everybody. This is Andy Elford, the host of the podcast, All Andy Elford. And tonight's show is a special live edition of All Andy Elford, as we do our show on Facebook Live this evening. So tonight's show is unedited, unrehearsed, and full of content. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Guess who's back?
All Andy Elford.
And a shot and a goal.
54
runs in the span, I'd really shut out.
Dumbino!
A hit to a home run.
Come on,
Jeff.
Way back.
Put some extra relish on my hot dog.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Choo-choo, it's time for All Andy Elford.
What a performance, ladies and gentlemen. What we witnessed tonight basically shocked me. It absolutely shocked me tonight. The fact that this team put Cincinnati away tonight, and not just put them away, but handedly put them away, gives me all the confidence in the world to say that this team is now officially for real. The Walleye tonight sucked up and swept up the Cincinnati Cyclones. An unbelievable performance tonight by the Fish at the Bank Tank in front of a beyond standing room only crowd. And this is telling us that the Fish are for real, ladies and gentlemen. The Fish are for real. I can't believe it. But I don't get my hopes up. I'm not getting my hopes up all percent. I'm at 55% that this team is for real. So I'm halfway there. And we're halfway through the playoff series. We've gone through all our divisional opponents now. And now the real test begins. As this is a special post-game edition of Andy Elford tonight, right here on the All Andy Elford Network, right here, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcast. Right here on the network. As we're posting all this on our social media platforms right now. Right now. Posting it up right now on our Facebook, on my personal Facebook page, as well as the regular Facebook page. And like I said, you are listening to us on the plethora of platforms on the All Andy Elford Network, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Bleaker, Stitcher, however you're listening tonight, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast tonight, as well as we are on Facebook Live tonight as we're coming to you from the Man Cave Studios here in Toledo, Ohio. A huge win tonight for the Fish. The Fish win and get the job done and clinch the Central Division Championship in the playoffs. They clinch the division championship and now move on to the Western Conference Final. Like that banner right there, 2018-19 Western Conference Champions. They are Western Conference Champions. For the opportunity to get another one of those banners here in the city of Toledo. We got a lot to get into tonight, of course. It's going to be a long post-game show because we're not going to be on the air until we find out who the opponent is next for Toledo. So we're going to get a long, in-depth show tonight. We're going to have Wes Carr here in just a little bit. He was in attendance at tonight's game. We'll get him on the podcast here in just a little bit, get his thoughts and opinions on what he saw on the ice tonight. And, you know, we'll pick his brain to see who he thinks is going to be the representation against the Walleye in this next upcoming round. And we'll get into that in just a second. We'll also recap, like I said, we're recapping the game for you. Also, we have game six, fives tonight as Toronto is battling Florida. You also have Edmonton battling the Vegas Golden Knights. The Reds were a winner tonight over the Marlins, 7-6. As well as the Guardians are hosting the Angels. Seattle thumping the Tigers tonight. But it doesn't matter. We're going to go right into what we witnessed tonight at the Bank Tank in downtown Toledo, Ohio. Man, oh man. A solid, huge crowd on hand in this game. A absolute huge crowd on hand for tonight's game. As the Fish jumped out to the early lead, you knew Cincinnati was going to be coming out strong in this game. You knew with their backs against the wall, you felt like Cincinnati has everything to play for now. They have everything. They have to get something into the back of the net. They don't get anything going. Had an opportunity since John Lethemon got the start tonight in between the pipes, but it was Andrew Sturts getting the goal started for the Fish from McKenzie and having even strength, and it's 1-0 with a minute 54 into the first period. The Fish taking that early 1-0 lead like they have done for the last seven playoffs games going into tonight's game. Taking that early 1-0 lead is just absolutely astounding. It was great to see that and see the Sturts jumping off to the races, giving the Fish an early lead. Then you have at the 5:37 mark of that same period, Gordy Green getting his first of the night, his fifth of the playoff campaign from Brandon Hawkins and Charlie Curdy, making it a 2-0 Walleye lead. They added insurance late in the period as, you know, Lethemon was just absolutely outstanding. He did a fantastic job in the first period. But Brandon Hawkins gets the goal, his sixth of the campaign from Gordy Green and Burton. And it's 3-0 Fish after 20 minutes of play. And I'm saying to myself while watching this game with my wife, I said, oh my goodness, a 3-0 lead to jump out. But no goal, no lead is ever safe in the East Coast Hockey League, no matter what the situation is. There's always something that happens. Absolutely, something happens in the East Coast Hockey League that turns the tide in the favor of, you know, whoever's playing and continue the momentum. But however, the Fish continued to push the gas pedal down, and they started off the first period, ended the first period and starting of the second period on the disadvantage on the penalty kill, but it didn't really matter because Andrew Sturts gets a shorthanded goal. His fourth of the playoff campaign, second of the evening, shorthanded, makes it a 4-0 Fish lead. Then you started seeing it. You started seeing the Cyclones starting to get a little chippy, a little pushing and shoving, a little bit of plays after the play, and it did lead to Cincinnati getting in the back of the net, beating John Lethemon. As Griffin gets his first of the playoff series from Polino and McLaren, and it was a 4-1 Cincinnati disadvantage as the Fish were absolutely beating up on the Cyclones. Because then in the second, the Fish continued their pounding of the Cyclones as Tutaev absolutely beats. Sturts chase. The goaltender, Sinclair, out after that shorthanded goal. Beckworm comes in to replace him. Tutaev beats Worm from Green and Barton on the power play after a bad penalty for Cincinnati. It's 5-1 Fish. And then just to put a little bit more sting into the round, another penalty was again by McLaren. Again, goes into the box, and T.J. Hensick, his fourth of the playoffs from Riley McCourt at the 14:48 mark of the second period, and 6-1 Fish. I'm continuing this. This is continuing. And then again, on the power play yet again, bad penalty for Cincinnati. And Drew Waurad, his fourth of the season from McKenzie and McCourt. It's 7-1 Fish after 40 minutes of play. And the party kept on rolling into the third period. At the 4:30 mark of the third period, Gordy Green puts it into the back of the net for his sixth of the season. Second of the game from Blitz and Curdy, making it an 8-1 lead. The Fish then tallying their final goal of the night at the 11:36 mark of the period. It's Brett McKenzie getting his first from Ebbing and Schultz at the 11:36 mark, making it a 9-1 lead for the Fish. The Fish absolutely dominating. Cincinnati was trying to rebound and recapture some of it, and they did beat John Lethemon again. And Hardy gets his first of the campaign from Nielsen. It's 9-2. The Fish then capitalizes on plays. They hold the puck. They chip and chase. Run it down on Beckwarm. Beckwarm continued to finish out the game, giving up 5 goals. And the Fish move on. They continue the quest. They end the quest for the cup for the Cincinnati Cyclones. It dies in Toledo. The Cyclones die in Toledo. And the Fish keep running upstream and run for the cup with a big 9-2 win tonight at the Bank Tank in downtown Toledo in front of a sellout crowd of 8,300 in attendance. 2 hours and 25 minutes took to play the game. The three stars of the game, Brett McKenzie, the number 3 star, Gordy Green, the number 2 star, and Andrew Schultz, the number 1 star in the game. Toledo out shooting Cincinnati in this game 37-25. Toledo was 3-for-7 on the power play. Cincinnati 0-for-2. Cincinnati had 26 minutes in penalties to Toledo's 6 minutes. Toledo had 9 goals, 15 assists for 24 points. Cincinnati had 2 goals, 3 assists for 5 points. Like I said, Sinclair pulled after giving up the third goal. He was 6. He stopped 13 of 16, save percentage of a .875. Beckwarm comes in, stops 15 of 21, save percentage of a .779. For John Lethemon, stopping 23 of 25, save percentage of a .895. The Fish run away with it with a 9-2 win tonight. And this was, I mean, I'll tell you, folks, this game was a doozy. I said at the beginning of the game, and I'll be the first to admit it, I will be the first to admit it right here on this program, I thought Toledo was going to lose this game tonight. I really did. I thought Toledo was going to lose this hockey game tonight. I had a feeling that after the performance, what happened on Wednesday with them only winning by 1 goal and it being a low-scoring game, 2-1, I did not expect this kind of an outcome and an outburst from this offense. They put their pedal, they put their foot on the pedal and poured that gas in and revved that engine up and went right through the Cyclones tonight. Absolutely went right through them. There was good defense tonight. The offense was on full cylinders. And you saw positives out of this whole team. If you look at it, Charlie Curdy, 2 assists. He was a +2. Gordy Meyer, a +3 tonight. Absolutely fantastic. Drew Waurad, 1 goal, but he was a -1 because it was a power play goal. McKenzie, 1 goal, 2 assists, a +1. Brandon Hawkins, 1 goal, 1 assist, +3. Trenton Bliss, no goals, 1 assist, +3. Gordy Green, 2 goals, 2 assists, +3. Colin Keenan, -1. McCourt, a -1 with 2 assists. Tutaev, -1 with 1 goal. And Thomas Ebbing, with 2 assists, +2. Farrell, no goals, no assists, +2. Barton, 2 assists, +2. The Fish are finally figuring it out. They have finally figured it all the way out. The Fish are 8-0 in the postseason this year When it comes to a closeout games, Toledo is now 8-1 overall when they are playing against a team to end their season, and that's for the last two seasons. They are 8-1 now, ladies and gentlemen. 8-1. They have outscored. And now I got to look this up really quickly here. Toledo sweeping Cincinnati in the four games. Toledo has outscored 21 to 7. They tripled the amount of goals that they scored in this playoff series against the Cincinnati Cyclones. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable. So, the Fish are moving on to the Western Conference Finals. Who will they play? Well, it is a daunting task right now. It's very, very a daunting task. The Fish have there's two opportunities right now. There's two teams left in the Western Conference that are battling each other out. Right now it's the Idaho Steelheads, who, honest to God, are the toughest opponent for Toledo. If they get through Idaho, I think that they have a chance to win the cup. I think the two divisions in the Eastern Conference are very, very tough. But Idaho is the toughest of all three of the five remaining teams left. Toledo, Newfoundland, Reading, Jacksonville, Florida, and then you have Allen and Idaho. So the seven teams left of this playoff run. Of the seven teams that are left, Idaho, I think, is the toughest of it all. After that, you played Newfoundland this year, you won. You played Reading, battled, and lost. You haven't played Jacksonville, and you haven't played Florida. Those are tough games going forward. And now, with this time off, they're going to be well-rested and hopefully ready to go. And this is an interesting development, too. This was brought up into the broadcast tonight with Melzack and the chick. The lady that was doing the color analysis, I forget her name off the top of my head. If you know who, comment, put a comment or send me a tweet. Toledo, if it comes to playing Allen's having a hard time getting the building. It looks like if it's Allen, it'll be the first two games will be in Allen, Texas, and the remaining five will be in Toledo. If it's Idaho, it's a 2-3-2. And Idaho has the better advantage. They'll play the first two out in Idaho, three back at the bank tank, and then two back in Idaho. You want Allen to win this series to get an opportunity to possibly play five games at the Huntington Center to win. To get into the final. And Allen would be the higher seed because they have a little bit more wins because of it. With Toledo being a two seed, you know, Allen's a better seed. They have better wins productions. There's an opportunity for them. They'll have home ice for it to start to win two games. But then the final five would be at the Huntington Center. Plain and simple. So, we shall see what happens. So, the Fish, a win tonight. They win 9-2 over the Cincinnati Cyclones. They just started overtime at Ernesto, Florida, at Hertz Arena between Jacksonville and Florida. Florida is up 3-0 on Jacksonville right now. They're in overtime. 15-17 mark of the first period. It's Allen 4, Idaho 2, with 12:02 to go in the second period of that game. As Idaho is leading, let me double check again here. Idaho is leading the series 2-0 in this series. And like I said, Florida up 3-0 on Jacksonville. Florida can punch their ticket. today with a win against Jacksonville here at home. So Jacksonville playing on their last leg tonight. So there's that for you right here on All Andy Alford, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Bleaker, Stitcher, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you for tuning in. And since the Walleye have ended their season, let's recap the whole playoff series against Cincinnati for you guys, as it was game one last Friday night, 1 week ago on this date. The Fish headed down to Heritage Bank Center, and they polished the Cincinnati Cyclones with a 6-2 win in that game. It led by the power play with a 5-minute major in the first period, which then turned into a suspension on Allen. And it was a 5-minute major penalty to assess to Cincinnati, and Toledo capitalized in that game by scoring 4 power play goals to make it a 6-2 lead for the Fish. The next night, Saturday night, with a big crowd of Walleye fans that made the trek, Toledo rallied and beat up on the Cyclones again by the score of 5-2 in Heritage Bank Center on Saturday, May 6th. And then the series then turned back to Toledo on Wednesday night as the Fish battled strongly with the Cincinnati Cyclones. The Cyclones putting up a fight, but the Fish were there with a deflected goal that go into the back of the net, which turned out to be the game winner, as TJ Hensick gets his 3rd of the campaign that night. The Fish was a winner 2-1, and tonight the Fish absolutely rolling over the Cincinnati Cyclones by the final count of 9-2 in the game. And that is the recap of the series, the 4-game series. The Fish sweep the Cyclones in 4 games, 4-0. So there is that for you guys. Looking around, we're going to try to get Wes here in just a second to get his view and what he was seeing on the ice. Looking around the rest of the hockey world, of course, as it is a big night in Toronto, and it has just gone final. It is officially Leafs Elimination Day, as the Toronto Maple Leafs lose in overtime tonight to the Florida Panthers. In overtime, ending the Leafs' run by a score of 3-2 in the game. In overtime, it was Nick Cousins getting his 2nd of the playoffs from Gudas. It was 3-2 at the 15:32 mark of overtime. The Leafs eliminated by the Florida Panthers by the score of 3-2 with 6:10 to go in the first period. The Edmonton Oilers are up 2-1 on the Vegas Golden Knights. So the Leafs are officially out. It will be the Panthers versus the Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Final. Who had that in your bracket? Who had that in your bracket? Please raise your hand. Carolina versus Florida. Who had that in your bracket? Unbelievable. Tomorrow, 1 game, 7:00 drop. Seattle hosts Dallas. Dallas up 3-2 on the Seattle Kraken. So the Kraken are facing elimination. We'll see how that happens. Sunday slate will be Vegas traveling to Edmonton. That game time has yet to be determined on that part. And then game 7, if necessary, Seattle will play on Monday night against the Dallas Stars. So there is that for you guys. The NHL playoffs for you right here on All Andy Alford. And it was, like I said, it's been an interesting playoff run with regarding of how this playoff series has gone in the NHL. The shock and awe, of course, with Florida upsetting now Boston and now the Leafs. Can you say that Florida is a strong possibility that they could make the cup? Possibility. It is a strong possibility. My sister was at the game tonight. My my sister Katie was at the Walleye Cyclone game tonight. She had a great vantage point. She was texting me saying that she was crying. She was crying when she saw the cat, Catrick, carrying out a broom. She's very emotional, but that's just... I think that's hilarious. I think it's absolutely hilarious. But she loves her Walleye hockey. She's going to be a season ticket holder next year, so watch out for her. You'll probably be seeing me a few times when they can't make it to some games. So there's that for you. Other sports around the world news, of course, the Miami Heat has beaten the New York Knicks tonight. The Knicks are eliminated from the playoffs run, and that is the second opponent. The Knicks were eliminated by the Heat tonight. So the Heat have eliminated the Bucks and the Knicks. That's two, as an 8 seed, two teams, top teams, have been eliminated because of that. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable on that part. Other sporting news to get around to as well. I was watching a little bit of SmackDown tonight as well, pro wrestling, seeing that it, and I saw it, I knew it was coming. I was reading it in the dirt sheets, of course. Roman Reigns came back tonight and announced what he's going to wrestle at Night of Champions. He will not be defending his Universal Championship. It will be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Solo Sikoa and the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Universal Championship. And, you know, that tells me right there that WWE is going to try to put four belts on Roman Reigns. Four belts on Roman Reigns. Think about it. He'll have the WWE Championship, the Universal Championship, and then both the Raw and SmackDown Championship. And that, just for me, thinking about it right now, right off the top of the dome, that would be the best way for Cody Rhodes to possibly get the championship, because he could then offer, the Universal Championship will be an open challenge. I mean, the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship will be opened with him going to being, if he does win the titles off of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Think about it. He could wrestle both the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship while he is carrying both the Raw and SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Think about that for a second. That'd be huge. And that would fix the script for Cody Rhodes. Especially after Night of Champions, when he hopefully beats Brock Lesnar for a second time. So there is that for you guys. Like I said, the Knicks fall to the Heat, 96-92. They're just underway, ending the first quarter. The Lakers up 31-18 on the Golden State Warriors. Game sevens will look like this. The 76ers will play the Celtics on Mother's Day this upcoming Sunday. Times have not been determined. And then the Lakers will battle the Warriors if it goes to a game seven, if the Lakers do not win their game tonight over the Golden State Warriors, which then sets up the conference championships, which is the West versus the East. West champion, which is the Denver Nuggets, will play either the Los Angeles Lakers or the Golden State Warriors. And that series will tip off on Tuesday the 16th. So there is that for you. Baseball. Again, like I recap for you, we're waiting on Wes here just a second. We'll get Wes on here momentarily. Baseball, look around the majors. Of course, Seattle beating up on the Tigers tonight 9-2. They took 2 of 3 from the Guardians at Progressive Field, and that's saying something right there. They have won 4 out of the last 6 games against the Guardians this year. Wow. It says a lot right there. Angels beat up on the Guardians by the score of 5-4 tonight. It was the Reds, a winner 7-4 over the Marlins. Right now, top of the ninth inning, the Cubs are up 5-2 on the Twins. It's the White Sox up 1-0 right now, bottom of the second inning against the Astros. Brewers are up 5-1 on the Royals. Philadelphia, 6-2 lead right now over the Rockies. You have Arizona up 4-3 on the San Francisco Giants. It's 2-2 at the top of the fourth inning between the Oakland Athletics and the Texas Rangers. Top of the third, 0-0 between the Padres and the Dodgers. Some finals. The Mets beat the Nationals by a score of 3-2. Orioles, a 6-3 win over the Pirates. The Yankees get back into the winning ways and beat the Rays by a score of 6-5. The Blue Jays, a 3-0 win over the Atlanta Braves. Cardinals, a 8-6 win over the Red Sox at Fenway Park tonight, right here in baseball. And by the way, gotta make mention of this really quickly for you Mudhen fans. The Mudhens are in action. They played Iowa today and they lost to the Iowa Cubs by the score of 10-2. They'll be back on the field tomorrow, 7:08 in Iowa for that game. It will be Clark on the hill for Iowa. Toledo has not yet named the starter for tonight's game. So that is the look around baseball. We're going to get Wes Carr here in just a second. Just heard Wes Carr giving his post-game recap of what he witnessed tonight at the Huntington Center as the Fish, a huge win tonight over the Cincinnati Cyclones by the final count of 9-2. As we're going to recap it again for you guys right here, the scoring situation. It started off a minute 54 into the first period as Andrew Schultz getting a goal in the game. And then at the 5:37 mark of the period, Gordy Green capitalized on his opportunity to make it a 2-0 lead. Then Brandon Hawkins getting a goal at the 17:02 mark of the period, giving it a 3-0 Fish lead. Then Andrew Schultz then getting his second of the campaign, shorthanded, getting the goal, making it a 4-0 Fish lead. But then Griffin for Cincinnati stopped some of the bleeding, getting his first of the campaign at the 10:49 mark of the second period. But the Fish then capitalizes to tie up on the power play, gets a goal, his goal at the 12:34 mark of the period. TJ Hensick then on the power play, yet again after Nielsen coming out of the box, he then draws another penalty, goes back into the box, and Hensick capitalizes on it at the 14:48 mark of the second period, making it a commanding lead for the Fish at 5-1. Then Drew Warad then capitalizes again on the power play at the 16:56 mark of the second period, making it 4 goals in the period for the Fish as they were up 7-1 after 40 minutes of play. The Fish then capitalized 4 minutes and 30 seconds into the third period with Gordy Green getting his second of the night. And then Brett McKenzie capitalizing, making it a 9-1 lead in favor of the Fish. Before then Hardy getting a goal at the 12:08 mark of the third period. The Fish capitalize and shut it down, and they win tonight by the score of 9-2. Toledo 3-for-7 on the power play. Cincinnati 0-for-2. Toledo 37 shots to 25. They outshot Cincinnati 37-25 in the game tonight at the Huntington Center in front of 8,300 in attendance. 2 hours, 25 minutes took to play the game. It was the number one star of the game. And it was Gordy Green, the number two star, and Brett McKenzie, the number three star in tonight's game. Other games around the East Coast Hockey League. We're just now starting the third period. Allen is up 5-2 on the Idaho Steelheads as Idaho is up 2-0 on the Allen Americans. In overtime tonight in Estero, Florida, it was the Florida Everblades falling to the Jacksonville Icemen by the score of 4-3. Florida's up in that series 3-1. Toledo sweeps Cincinnati tonight by the score of 9-2. They sweep the series 4-0 in this affair. Looking at it, other games tomorrow, Reading is in Newfoundland as Reading is down in the series 3-1 to the Newfoundland Growlers. Tomorrow, game 5 between Jacksonville and Florida in Estero, 7 o'clock puck drop for that one. And then at 7:10, Allen will take on the Idaho Steelheads in game 4 of the series there. So Toledo clinches tonight with a big 9-2 victory over the Cincinnati Cyclones. They will now await the winner of the Idaho Allen game, which will start on, it looks like the playoff series will start next Friday. And whatever the situation is, Toledo will be the road team in games 1 and games 2. If it is Idaho, it will be a 2-3-2 situation. Four games in total. Games 1 and games 2, 6 and possible 6 and 7 in Idaho. Games 3 and 4 will be at the Bank Tank. And game 5 will be at if necessary, at the Huntington Center. If it's Allen, the problem right now, Allen's having a hard time with their building problems. Allen, and we mentioned with Wes here just a few minutes ago on the podcast. You can go back and listen to it and rewind it. Allen's having hard times with their building and getting people to come into the build, the building, because of events that are happening, and also things that are happening in the community as well. So it could possibly be a 2-5 situation, which means games 1 and 2 would be in Allen, Texas. Games 3 through 7 would be then in Toledo for the possibility for that. It could be a 2-5 situation, which is what they're dealing with right now. As Idaho is, Allen was the first two games were in Allen, Texas, and they played those games. And then they have to move the second game out of Allen to Idaho. So it's been a 2-5 system for that series. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting. But, yes, if you're a Walleye fan, you want the Walleye to play Allen in the round. So it'd be 2 games in Allen and 5 games. 5 games at home at the Huntington Center. So it could possibly be a 2-5 situation if it's Allen. If it's Idaho, it is the traditional 2-3-2 situation. Again, games 1 and 2 in Idaho, 3 and 4 in Toledo, with the possibility of game 5 in Toledo and game 6 and 7 back in Idaho. Katie Cordova just wrote in. She says, thoughts on Catrick Appreciation Night. I think that would be a cool idea. I would be down with a Catrick Appreciation Night. Yes, the Steelheads. The Idaho Steelheads, they're fish. But I would be down with a Catrick Appreciation Night. Do a Catrick jersey, blue pants, blue helmet, maybe yellow socks to represent the boots. But yeah, I'd be down for a Catrick Appreciation Night. I mean, you gotta have him, He is one of the mascots. But yes, the Idaho Steelheads out of Idaho, Boise, Idaho. Golden Yeller, the guy who makes all the Lego figures. Yeah, he's a Idaho Steelhead fan, and he also does games for Idaho. So it'd be nice to have him here. That could happen. Like I mentioned before, the Leafs, the Toronto Maple Leafs, were eliminated tonight in the playoffs in overtime as Nick Cousins getting the game winner. Florida takes the Leafs down 4-1. 13:49 to go in the second period. It is the Edmonton Oilers up 2-1 on the Vegas Golden Knights in that game. Also, got to make mention of this. Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat get the job done over the New York Knicks by the score of 96-92. It's the Warriors down to the Lakers 53-44 with a 1:41 to go in the first half of the game. The Celtics will play Sunday. It'll be a 7 o'clock. The times have been yet to be determined. 76ers and Celtics on Mother's Day. So there is that for you. Also, Tigers lose tonight to the Seattle Mariners. The Reds win, and the Guardians lose to the Angels by the score of 5-4. Mudhens lose tonight 10-2 to the Iowa Cubs. So We're going to wait and see who Toledo will play next in their playoff series. So we're going to be off the air for a little bit. We'll continue to do these post-game shows for you here. Now, the question is at what time these post-game shows will happen. We're going to determine this, who they play. If it's Allen, Texas, if it is the Allen Americans, it will be business as usual. We will continue to do these post-game shows late. But if it is Boise, if it is the Idaho Steelheads, if it is them, and these games are midweek, we're going to have to make a decision whether it be a pregame show, and not a postgame show. So stick with us on our Twitter handle, which is @AllAndyAlford. It is @AllAndyAlford, as well as Facebook.com, which is Facebook.com/AllAndyAlford, for updates on what the show is going to look like as well. We're also 2 months out now from the Dana Open. The Dana Open is 2 months away. We're excited as ever. They announced today that Stacey Lewis is coming back to play in the tournament. We haven't heard yet about Brooke Henderson. I hope she's doing well. She is under the weather. She did not play in the last two tournaments. So hopefully she is back to the swing of things and hope she makes a long run going forward. Of course, we got some big golf tournaments happening as well. So there's that for you. I close tonight's podcast with a special greeting. I want to say a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Whether it be you having a kid or if you're having a fur baby, we love you moms out there. I want to send a special hello to my beautiful wife, Amanda, with our four cats, our four babies. We have 16 paws that we take care of. She does a great job. She's also a mother with the comes of nursing. Takes care of so many people, so I love you. I appreciate you so much, and happy Mother's Day from me and all the cats as well. I also want to send a special happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law, Joanne. Love you. I thank you so much for creating a beautiful daughter in Amanda. And I also want to spend a special happy Mother's Day to my mother, Debbie Alford. I love you, Mom. You are the rock in our family. You are the inspiration for all of us. You are my concert buddy. You are my friend. You're one of my best friends. And you're one of the best mothers in the entire world. I love you. I hope that you have a blessed Mother's Day and, you know, enjoy it with the cats, hopefully with your grandpup snacks, and the pooies love you. So happy Mother's Day, Mom, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We love you all so, so much. So until I talk to you again for game one of the Western Conference Finals, or possibly a regular edition of All Andy Alford, got to keep that in mind, folks. Until I talk to you guys, this is Andy Alford saying, I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together, the game of life. Keep your stick on the ice. And to the teams you root for at home, and to my teams, go Walleye! Congratulations! Congratulations! Cheers, my friends. Go Jackets. Oh, let's find this coach, and let's go get this Carlson. Go Tigers, go Reds, go Guardians, and go Hens. And more birdies and less bogeys, because victory is sweetest when you have tasted defeat. Have a great day, everybody, and great week, everybody. I'll talk to you guys soon, right here, on the All Andy Alford Network, powered by Spotify, whether it be on Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify, Stitcher, and right here on Facebook Live. I love you guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. Love you. God bless. All right. It is a huge win tonight for the Fish. They stamp and they sweep out the Cyclones. And joining me on the podcast tonight here on All Andy Alford tonight is the one and only Wes Carr. Wes, good evening to you. A fantastic win tonight for the Fish. First reaction, what were you thinking?
What a game. It was so loud in there. Like, right right with the player introductions, like, loudest I've ever heard it, I think. But, man, once we got going, no stopping.
Yeah, I felt like it was, like the I was telling the listeners and the viewers tonight that it was basically, it felt like the Fish were on the gas pedal the entire time, and they were not letting off the gas pedal. They just kept coming and coming and coming at Cincinnati. And, you know, it was just, you kind of felt like there it was a tale of two different games. It was two different teams that we've seen in the last, like, I don't know, 48 hours, because it was a tough game on Wednesday, and then tonight, a total flip. It was like the traditional walleye team that we've seen throughout the season, just putting the puck into the back of the net. And it was great to see. Yeah, I was absolutely shocked at how good this team was looking, especially after the first 40 minutes when they were just cruising through the huge lead. Right. They were up 7-1 at one point, and I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, what was your biggest takeaway from what you saw in the first 40 minutes with them just pounding it out?
Well, you were right with Sturtz planting the seed, because that's all they were doing. But Sturtz was probably one of the main reasons that Cincinnati was so flustered, because their whole main focus was getting after him.
Mm-hmm.
But once... Man, the scoring was just amazing.
Yeah.
Not very many games are you able to chant, "We won 10. So,
they were mentioning in the broadcast, and I had to double check it too. The last time that a Toledo hockey team in the playoffs scored more. Then scored that many goals, you have to go back to the 2010 Toledo Walleye team when they played the Charlotte Checkers, and they put 7 goals up on the board during a playoff game against the Checkers. Still won the game, but they eventually lost the series. But, you know, now we can put this game into our record book now of putting 9 goals in this game. And I'll just say this, because you sit by the Cincinnati bench after they took the 3-0 lead and they pulled Sinclair to put in Warm, could you tell that the bench was like very, very dejected, because they knew that this game was probably out of their reach a little bit?
Yeah they were really quiet, because usually they talk trash every time they go into the locker room to any of us Toledo Walleye fans that sit in my area. But every time they were very quiet and just didn't say anything. So, yeah, I won't say gave up, but, you know, yeah. They were doomed after the second period, so I'm surprised they came out for the third.
Yeah, I know. To me it looked like, you know, I was thinking, once the Fish were up big, I was saying, all right, let's just get out of this game healthy. Let's not get anybody injured. Let's not take any stupid penalties. Let's not do anything that's gonna hurt us come game one of the Western Conference Final. And, you know, and I always tell you this, and I told the listeners this, I can't count the game out until I see, like, you know, the 3-0s on the board. But about the 5-minute mark of the third period, when we were up the 9-2 mark, I said to my wife Amanda, I basically said, you know, I think this one's over. We can start to look to what, you know, game one will look like in the next week or so, when we find out who we're going to be playing. And so I ask you this question, Wes. You know, Idaho, very good team. You know, they're very, very, they've dominated their season. They've had 36 wins at home. They're the Brabham Cup champions. You know, do you think, and I was telling the listeners and viewers this, that this is probably going to be the toughest test. If Toledo does end up playing Idaho, this will be the toughest test that this team is probably going to face until they get to the Cup Final. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. In the same chance that we end up losing a game, it would be the way of how they react to a loss. Mm-hmm. So by, you know, sweeping the two, you know, you don't have that feeling of having to regroup. So hopefully they can just keep steamrolling. And but I think mainly it'd have to be a breakdown for one of the goalies to have a loss.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point. You know, I thought tonight, and I said it at the beginning of the show, that I had that feeling tonight that, you know, how good Cincinnati performed in game three, and, you know, they kept it within a one-goal game the entire time. I admitted it on the air, and I ate crow for it. I said that, you know, I felt like Cincinnati was probably going to win this game, and it would have probably helped the Walleye out, put a little bit of a callus on a loss to regroup, and, you know, and to come back possibly would have been tomorrow night to probably win the series to end it, so they wouldn't have to go back to Cincinnati. But, you know, they get the job done, and you brought up a good point. You know, it has to be either a collapse with the, regarding in between the nets, or it would be a bad defensive break, or something that could cost the Walleye in the long run. But for right now, you know, with them going up and sweeping two series in a row now, and against two teams that, you know, we both thought at the beginning of the season, back in December, that this team wasn't going to make a playoff run, and these two teams that were in front of us at the beginning of December in January, and then the Fish just rallied off, you know. It's absolutely amazing to see that this team is finally, you know, turning around and becoming a favorable, strong opponent.
Yeah, because I don't want to mention sweep or anything with Cincinnati, because I didn't want to have a jinx out there.
Yeah.
So just in case, but. I'm happy with
a
sweep there.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have a sweep. It gives a good chance for what we go back to doing it again. You know, we're going to probably be sitting out a week basically to see who our next opponent's going to be. And then, you know, when they were talking about it, and this next series is going to be this team, whoever we play, we're going to have to start on the road. Yet again, it'll be another Cincinnati series where you're going to have to start the first two games either in a hostile environment in Idaho or in a series with Allen that could be interesting, because Allen's a high, fast flying team. They're very, very good. They have a strong power play system that's a little bit better than Toledo's, and just a little bit better, but not as much, because, you know, Toledo's just absolutely outstanding at the power play when it comes to this playoff series. But Allen's a fast team. They are a flying team. And that's one thing that, you know, I worry about with Toledo if they do play Allen in the next round, because you have veterans and older players. You know, they're going to be fully rested and fully healthy, but we bring that question back up again from 1 week ago tonight, when we were on the air: is it going to be rest or is it going to be rust? And especially now with this team, this team going forward, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think rest will continue. I don't think rust is going to happen.
God, I hope it doesn't. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one thing we don't need.
Do you know why Cox has not started at all?
Who was it again?
Cox.
Mm.
For because I thought he did love playing for him, but they just scratched him.
Yeah,
no series. So.
I think they scratched him because he's been under the weather for a few weeks, so he hasn't been getting the opportunity to playing time because he's been under the weather. So I just don't, it's one of those things that they have to play with the protocol just in case, because it's that C word that I have to drop out there. So it's one of those things where they have to be cautious because of it. And I'll bring this up too. So if it goes to Idaho, it will be game one and game two in Idaho, 3-4 and possibly 5 in Toledo, and then you go to game 6 and 7 back in Idaho. And then next week, and then if it's Allen, here's the key thing, Wes. Allen is game 1 and game 2 in Allen. And because of the building problems that they're having in Allen, Texas, there will be five home games for the Fish. Five. So it'll be a 2-5 system, because Allen's having problems with their building. So that is a strong possibility. So I'll give you this, Wes. What would you rather have? Idaho in the 2-3-2 situation, where you're playing at least possibly 4 games in Idaho, or 3 games in Idaho? Or would you rather play Allen, play the 2 games in Allen, and see if you could win the series back at the Huntington Center?
I definitely take the 2-5 option with Allen.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean it's, and so that's why, if you're a Fish fan, you're rooting for Allen because of this whole 2-5 system. If you're playing Idaho, it's gonna be a crapshoot. It's gonna be a crapshoot.
Because they're
a tough team. But you mentioned that the crowd was loud during player introductions, and they just, they just kept rolling through the game, and they had 8,300 in attendance tonight. And did it feel like the 8,300 was in attendance tonight?
Yeah, definitely. We had some Cincinnati players or Cincinnati fans that were in front of us. They were appreciating our scoring there. they're loud in the beginning and then quiet at the end.
Yeah, that's a good thing to see. It's a good thing.
I think Cincinnati's not used to playing with the nets not constantly coming off, so mm-hmm. that probably messed them up too.
Yeah,
they don't have those little breaks of rest that. Mm-hmm. For them to put the nets back on.
Yeah, to give them an opportunity to fully catch a breather. And, I was thinking this, too, at the same time, Wes, when I was watching, I don't know if you saw this during the handshake line or anything like that, but you saw that, a lot of the players were taking a little bit more longer time with Justin Vibe a little bit. It looks like, and this is a report coming out from one of the Cyclones beat writers, that Justin Vibe, this was Justin Vibe's last game as the captain of the Cincinnati Cyclones, and he's going to make an announcement about that. But how it looked in the handshake line, and how the players were talking to him for a longest period of time, it looked like he was this was his last game in the East Coast Hockey League, especially as the captain of the Cyclones. So just putting that little tidbit out there for you.
Yeah, when he was coming off the ice, before he went into the locker room, he gave a long look around the arena, as if it was going to be his last time playing at Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I saw that, Allen got the 2 minutes and the 10-minute misconduct. The game, he got bounced early in the third.
Yep.
It got bounced early in the third period, but you had, and you think about it too, the whole Sabrango, Matt Barry situation. That was something, in the middle of the game when they basically dropped in front of Lethemann. I think it was in the second period, if I'm not mistaken. It was in the second period when Barry cross-checked and Sabango retaliated on the check. And, you know, I thought right there was, you saw the frustration of Cincinnati has finally boiled over. And, you know, Toledo was ready for it. You know, they were ready for the aggressiveness. And they were ready for the, and we were talking about it on Wednesday night. You don't sell out for the big hit, for the big play. But as soon as the Fish took the huge lead, you could tell that they were putting more physicality on the ice. And they were finishing their checks, no matter what the situation was during this game. And that was a good thing to see.
I think it was what, 5-0 at the time when Barry did that.
Yeah.
Because I was just waiting. I'm like, okay, at one point are they just gonna start, hits and start fights and stuff and not concentrate on winning the game anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we both know that happens. It happens a lot in the East Coast Hockey League. As soon as one team is absolutely being dominated, they break away from playing the game itself, and it turns into just a brawl on the ice. And Toledo wasn't going to get goaded into that tonight. I'll say it right now. I felt like this game tonight was a business game for them. They knew they had to go in. They had to finish the job. They didn't want to keep this series going. They went in, beat the shit out of them. I'll say it out loud. I'll say it on the pocket. They beat the shit out of them. And then they sat back and let Cincinnati do what they wanted to do. And, you know, they weren't going to put up with any of the bullshit. And they just basically took over this game. And they won this game, plain and simple.
Yeah, I took a picture of the score when it was 7-1 and sent it to a few people. And they're like, that's an ass beating.
Yeah. I mean, it was. If you look at it, I mean, it was 7-1 at the start of the third period. When you see a 7-1 score, you usually see that in like the regular season, not game four of the divisional final.
Right.
You don't see that. I mean, we've seen high scoring games in the past in the regular season, but never this high. Like I said, since 2010, we haven't seen this high of a scoring playoff game since then. It's just, it's absolutely amazing to see. So let's hope that we get Allen. And so for me, I think if it's Allen, I think Toledo wins it in five. If it's Idaho, it really is for me a roll of the dice, because it could go the full seven. Idaho could just, you know, beat us and take it in five, because I know Toledo will at least get one. So I don't know. We've talked about this. You know, we've talked about this off the air. You, me, Phil, and Logan. We've all sat around and talked about this, about what this series is going to be, because this is going to be. This will determine, because we beat Newfoundland in the Eastern Cup. We're looking at the Eastern teams. There's four teams that are left. We beat Newfoundland. We battled hard against Reading and lost by only because Pat Nagel was making his return and he wanted to win that hockey game. Yeah. We know what the Florida Everblades do. We don't know right now if they're. I haven't checked. I could probably check it here in just a second. If they actually won their game tonight against Jacksonville, because they were going into overtime. They were playing overtime. Jacksonville has beaten Florida, so Jacksonville continues the series. It's now 3-1 in favor of Florida, so that's something to give you a little. So we don't know what Jacksonville looks like. They could rally and win the series, but then so you play Newfoundland, you played Reading, we played Florida before, we haven't played Idaho. We haven't played Idaho and how good Idaho is, and we're not talking about last year's team when they came to town. We're talking about this year's team that's absolutely a very good team. A very, very good team. But we can look ahead to that, but let's celebrate what we have in front of us, and that is we're a Central Division, we're the division champions of the Central Division tonight. So that's a good thing. It's a very good thing.
Yep.
Very
good. The Cincinnati fans, there was a kid, and he's able to get 3 hockey sticks from the team.
I think I cleared
since out. They don't need to use them anymore.
Yep, they're going to be trading their hockey.
Exchanging for golf clubs.
Exactly. That's what I was about ready to say. And I saw they showed the video with like 30 seconds to go. They were showing it as they were coming up the ice on the video board. They were showing a picture, I think, of the Cincinnati Cyclone with the golf club on their hand on the video board. I saw it as they were bringing the puck up the ice, and I was like, oh, my God, they're really... And then you had the crowd. I'll go back to the crowd really quickly. They were singing Na 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 Hey Hey Goodbye.
Yeah. They were singing that at the beginning of the period.
Wow.
I'm like, a little too soon there. But I mean, I wasn't expecting a total breakdown that, they would actually come back and tie it or anything. But still, you kind of hold off. You could hold off on that.
Yeah. My favorite chant, no matter what the situation is start the bus. It's all going on.
I was chanting that after you sent that text to Logan.
Yeah.
Nobody else chained in though.
I heard na 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 hey hey goodbye. I heard we want 10, and now you're telling me that you guys tried to get it going, but he couldn't get it going to start the bus.
Tried and failed.
Yeah, but you never know. Might have to do that again.
In that golf video with the logo, it has if you watch it further, it has Indy on there too. It has Indy as the parent and the Cyclone as the dad, and they're teaching the kid how to golf. They have it on the Twitter page.
Oh, I'll have to look it up. We'll share it. But that's hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious. All right, Wes. Well, we're definitely going to have you on for this Western Conference Final, because this is going to be an interesting season, interesting playoff series that's coming forward. Is either going to be Idaho or Allen, but we will be for certain to have you on, because we got to keep this train rolling with 8 wins in a row, and 7 of which have you been on the air with. So we got to keep this train going.
Gotta keep the streak alive.
Okay, Wes, we'll have you back on in the air when we find out when game 1 is going to be. And until then, be safe, have fun, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good, Andy. Thanks for having me.
All right. No problem. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Later.
Bye. That was Wes Carr right here on All Andy Alfred Tonight, right here on the All Andy Alfred Network, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Bleaker, Stitcher, however you're listening to us, wherever and whenever you're listening to us. Thank you for tuning into the podcast tonight. This has been a presentation of the All Andy Alfred Network right here on Spotify. You've listened to the show on the plethora of platforms, whether it be on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Bleaker. However you listen to the show, and whenever you listen to the show, thank you so much for tuning into the show. As always, you can follow our show on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alfred, as well as Facebook.com. All sports lines are provided by Barstool Sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit GamblingCenter.com. The podcasts are recorded right here on Spotify.